Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Raishan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about all of your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture and the connections between them. This morning, we have a special for you. Putting together Raising Connections with Critters, Companions, Commerce, and Agriculture, we go out and we bring in so many guests. And so many of the guests, we have really fun, interesting conversations off air so that when we go on air, you get a really interesting product out of it. It's something fun to listen to. One of the things we all have in common, there is humor involved in daily lives in places that you would never expect the humor to come from. I don't know about in your life, but in my life and most of our guest lives, there are those moments where you think, rah, 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 this can't get any worse. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm working really hard. The more I work, the more I try, the worse it gets. And you get the concept. And then all of a sudden it's like, it falls apart and you have two choices. Well, maybe more than two, but you can control your reaction to it. Some people get really angry. I've had those moments. I think most of us have. Some of us think, if this happens one more time, other people laugh or cry. They release the emotion of the stuff that just happened. And that release can be so freaking humorous. Not maybe in that moment, but when you think about it, later on down the road. And that is the inspiration for Living Life Tails Up. Living Life Tails Up is inspired by all of the crazy antics that happen at Mariabelle Manor. Mariabelle Manor is our farm and our home. We bring in pieces of Indiana, the Midwest. We bring in pieces of California. There's a lot of agriculture in California there. Northern Pennsylvania, growing up on farms up in there. And we live across from a greenhouse. The largest growing sector of agriculture in the state of Maryland is landscape and horticulture. So that horticulture piece is agriculture, and it is definitely involved in our commerce. It is spring, and if you are going out to support those local nurseries, that's part of your horticulture and your agriculture in the state of Maryland. So we have this wonderful glamesh, if that's truly a word, this glamesh of stuff that happens. And all of these connections come together in Living Life Tails Up. I want to share with you some of these stories because humor is important. And I don't know about in your world, but I keep hearing a lot of folks here lately. Pollen's got them down. Season's getting busy, schools are wrapping up, weddings, graduations, busy, 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 busy. And I see a lot of people getting grumpy because of it. Seasons are changing, things are happening, and we're all getting back to our normals and yeah, grumpy. So I wanted to share some humor with you because when the milk spills, you can either laugh or cry or get angry, but you can control your emotion to it. And I wanted to share some of our Living Life Tails Up that you can find on the podcast from Raising Connections Media, some samples of it. So our first one this morning is, do you ever feel like a tool cat? And what is a tool cat? Because if you live on a farm, there are times that you feel like you are just a part of the machinery. And all of the folks out there right now, getting ready for planting season, cleaning out barns, making things go, there are times I bet you feel like a cog in the connective wheels of life. And that's what this piece, Tool Cat, is all about. I hope you enjoy it. Today we're considering, what is it you feel like? This is Living Life Tails Up, where we combine everyday life from things here at the kennel with some humor, some ideas, some positivity, shooting happy bubbles out there for everybody. Welcome. I'm Raishan. What do you feel like? You know, this phrase is one of those tails. It can either be a T-A-I-L, like the ones that are wagging, or a T-A-L-E, a tall one, a short one, you know, fishing tails. What do you feel like? You know, this is a phrase. Do you feel like having a burger? Do you feel like having a pizza? Do you feel like having, I've got a taste for something, right? You feel like having a. I think that's a bit colloquial, but you know, do you feel like a having a? What about I feel like, and it's a phrase about how you actually feel in your body. Well, some days I feel like a draft horse. I don't know about you all, but it's like, it's been the end of a long day and it feels like I'm the only one in front of that plow and somebody's back there with, I don't know, weights on it. I'm walking through all that mud we've talked about a few times and you feel like a draft horse. Other times you feel like, you know, oh, I'm sprite and glee and the music's been on. We talked about the music, what that does to you and how you get out there and you're just like, I am all fancy free, right? This week, I watch those dogs and they're out there living life tails up. They're running around, they're spring, they're barking, they're having fun. They're not wearing boppers today, but you know, they're out there doing their thing. They've been running up and over. We have in daycare all the five senses. So, you know, they're doing different activities. I believe it was frozen fruit today, search and find for frozen fruit. But in my world, watching them, I'm like, oh, they look like they're having so much fun. They look like they're feeling so good. And it made me think, what am I feeling like? Well, in my life here at Moriah Bell Manor, I was kind of feeling not the draft horse thing, not the living life tails up thing, more like the tool cat thing. Now, a tool cat is a piece of farm equipment. It is a very interesting thing, and it is a multi-versatile, very practical. I don't know if it's pretty, but it's practical. So if anybody who really knows me in my personal life, I usually go for functional over pretty. And that's the kennel manager's job, Michelle's, to make it pretty. Mine's to make it functional. So the tool cat. The tool cat is this functional piece of equipment. It's made by Bobcat. It has, and I think it's kind of funny that we have a tool cat, not a tool dog on a kennel. But anyway, so on the back of it is a lift bed. So you can dump things off the back. And on the front of it, it has a loader that has attachment that you can put lots of different tools on the front of it. You can grapple things like a hand, or you can use pallet forks to pick things up and down, or you can use buckets to move things around, you know, all kinds of different tools for it. Handy piece of equipment. So I'm kind of feeling like a tool cat. Now you got to think about this. These tool cats are diesel, and they have what's called glow plugs. I don't know if you've ever run a diesel before, but I got to thinking about it. I'm sitting there. It's cold. It's supposed to be spring. It's about 35 degrees. There's frost outside. I know some of my flowers have gotten nipped on there, and the dogs are all just wah, wah, wah. And everybody's like, it's not supposed to be this temperature. You can almost hear them say it in their voice, wah, 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 wah. And the horses are looking at me going, I no longer have the winter coat. What the heck is Mother Nature doing? It's 35 degrees. Did she not get the memo from Father Time? Glow plugs. So I went up to get in the tool cat, open the door, climb in, shut it, push the buttons and do the things to make it go on. And the glow plugs come on. And that's when it hit me. In the morning when I get up, the glow plugs, okay, functional glow plugs. Glow plugs are in a diesel, and they are an electric device that warms up the inside of the diesel engine so that when the explosion to make the diesel fire and make the engine go, it's warm enough to make that happen without the coal metal having real problems. So glow plugs, I think, are coffee. Or maybe really strong tea, but sometimes it's just like shift work coffee, you know? When I got to graduate school and my husband had been in the Navy, he's like, oh, you can't handle this. It's real coffee, blah, blah, blah. It's Navy coffee. I'm like, oh, shift work coffee. I got this. Glow plugs are kind of like coffee because it's that countdown to 10 that you've got a few sips of coffee in there. Maybe you've taken your morning vitamins with it. And it's like, okay, I think I can, right? It's starting to plug away. And then you get all the way that countdown. It's like, nope. And you have to go down to 10 again and start counting down. So I'm sitting there feeling like the tool cat watching this little countdown going with the glow plugs. And that's when I noticed that it takes a count of 10. And the snooze on my alarm is to a count of 9 minutes, right? And then you hit that sound, rah, 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 and you get your stuff ready to go. You're starting up, you're getting ready for your engine to fire. And that's kind of what it feels like is that coffee's going down. Rah, 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 yeah, we're going to get this done. And then you realize your safety light's on. Because in that tool cat, you've got this armrest, right? And when that armrest is down, everything works. But if that armrest is up, it's a safety feature to keep you from rolling out of the side of the thing and killing yourself. It's a pretty positive thing. And so what you do is you have to put that armrest down or nothing on the inside works. So your engine can run, your glow lights can be on, but the safety has not kicked in and your decision making is impaired. Anybody have this feeling? So it's like not enough coffee. I went to bed at 7:30 last night. It was too early. Yeah. Anyway, so you're out there and you're trying to get your glow plugs. Your glow plugs are on. Anybody else have this feeling? It's like, oh, I went to bed after, 8:30 last night, maybe close to 9 o'clock, and here it is, and I can't function, right? Okay, well, maybe 10. But this arm handle has to be down in order for all the other things to work. You can't move the arm up and down or the bed up and down. You can't go forward or go backward. It's kind of like when somebody comes in and they want something and you need to make a decision before you've had that first cup of coffee. And it's like, nope, armrest isn't down. But in the tool cat, what happens is what you cannot do in life. When tool cat comes on and that little safety arm's up and nothing's working because somebody's asked you to go do, move, be, think, and you've not had all your coffee yet and the armrest is up, the tool cat does the one thing I would love to do at that moment. It yells at you, beep, 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 and kind of screams in the sharp, shrill little tone. And if I had that installed the first time somebody asked me to do something and I wasn't quite ready and my armrest was still up and the coffee wasn't down, I don't think they'd ask me again. But the irony is every time I get in the tool cat and I'm about half asleep and the glow plugs have gone, I forget to put that armrest on. I can tell you exactly what that beeper sounds like because it has gone off so darn many times. So I'm sitting there, I'm looking at this. I'm like, okay, fine. I'll put the armrest down. We're going to go get the manure, right? And then I recognized, yeah, I'm definitely a tool cat today. Because on the side of where you make the thing go, it's a hydraulic drive, right? So where you make it go, it has two settings. And it's not high or low or anything like that. It is designed specifically for me to feel like a tool cat. It has a picture of a turtle and a picture of a rabbit. And That right there is just self-explanatory. I hope you all have a good day and you're running either turtle or rabbit and your armrest is down and you're not beeping too bad today. Have a cup of coffee, have some hot tea, get it going, and I hope you don't feel like a tool cat today.
I hope in your daily life you got a chuckle out of feeling like a piece of machinery, because there are times, we do. I do, maybe you don't. The everyday things around our place can really become either a drudgery or wonderful. And it all depends on the lens that we look through. I go back and I look at some of the pictures I've taken and I'm thinking, oh, that looks really gorgeous. And then I look at the date and the time and I'm thinking, holy moly, I felt not so gorgeous that day, but that looks wonderful. And you don't see the stuff that's not on the camera lens and you don't see the things that are in the picture. And then I sit down, I get my big glass of iced tea and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to take 5 minutes, pop a couple Advil and go at this again, right? I think many of us have had that experience. I pull out the magazine and I'm looking through the magazine going, oh, these people must just live in these posh, wonderful things and do all these posh, wonderful stuff all the time. And I smell like I've been scooping the manure and moving things around and playing with dogs, and I've got slobber all over me and the toys need washed. And that's when I have to stop and think. It's the lens that we look through to make those connections in our minds as to, are we enjoying this? Are we seeing the picture through the right lens? Are we seeing the picture through the grumpy lens? Are we seeing this picture through the beautiful lens? How are we seeing this picture? And that's why I wanted to share with you this next piece. When we come back, I want to talk about horticulture in Maryland and the greenhouse across from us and the geese, because we have a stream that goes through there and there's a story. Join me, Raishan Mayer, from Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon. Welcome back to Raising Connections. We're taking a look at the lighter side of life, because every now and then, I don't know about you, but in my world and the people I'm connected with, we can all get a little bit low. And when the pollen's high and the people are grumpy and it's the end of a season and we're graduating and moving and changing and schools are changing and temperatures are coming up and all the stuff, I find some grumpy people and some connections, and I wanted to introduce you to some humor. Living Life Tails Up is a bit of what we do behind the scenes at Mariah Bell Manor Kennel and Mariah Bell Manor The Farm. We talk about the horses, the dogs, all the inspiration for the crazy daycare things that we do. It's kind of like the outtake bloopers and all the thoughts that go on from the dog's and animal's point of view. Today I wanted to talk about Zach and the geese, because at Mariah Bell we have a pond and a creek, and across from us, the largest piece of agriculture in Maryland is horticulture, and they have ponds over in that area. And that means in the spring we have lots of geese. And this season, Zach and the geese and the floods, I hope you enjoy this piece of Living Life Tails Up podcast.
I want to consider geese, because where we live at Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, and when everybody comes in and drops their dogs off and they drive up and turn around, you can see the ponds next door at the greenhouses and you can see all the geese. And in our lower pasture, where the creek comes through and there's underground springs that come up, there's mud. There are little estuaries, if you will, mud holes out in the middle of the pasture where it gets low and the grass is there. And the geese really like these things because it's this marshy, swampy looking stuff and they want to lay their eggs there. Well, anybody who's been around geese know that they can be just vicious when it comes to protecting their nest and their eggs. And so we have a couple pairs of geese that come down, and every year they come back and they try to do their little nests down in the pasture. And then it is almost game on, because the dogs and the geese and the sounds and just the pure joy and the pure hatred is just all right there. Our neighbor has a dog. The dog is a golden retriever, and I'm going to tell on him because he made us smile. And I think he made his owners just shake their head and go, oh, Lordy, not again. They come down, they go to the greenhouse, they do their things down there, and the greenhouse ponds have lots of geese on them. And the golden retriever is young, 2, 3, 4, right in that pocket, and he was following his owner up on the ATV, and he comes down in the mornings and goes back up at lunch and comes back down, and the dog goes with the ATV, and they're going back.
He made me smile and laugh. And this is why we have pets, right? The freedom and the joy. And you could just see him balancing in his head, I'm going to do it. I really want to do it. I really shouldn't do it. I'm going to do it. It's going to be so much fun. Can't do it. I might get in trouble. How much is it worth? And you can just see the struggle going on in his head. And all of a sudden, you can just hear him go, I don't care. And jumps in the water into the pond. The geese fly off. And he's swimming for all it's worth, and the geese are flying and telling him all about it. Then you see the ATV stop, and you see his owner turn around and look at him. And I couldn't hear what was said. And you see the dog go, and I did so good, and I really thought about it before I did it. I didn't ask permission, but I did it. And as the geese start coming back, he turns around and swims back at him and goes, go, be free. So instead of retrieving, he was chasing, and it was absolutely hysterical. The takeaway for this for me was sometimes don't you just look at it and go, yeah, it's worth it. I'm going to do it, and just to the wind with the consequences. And isn't that some of the beauty of life? Sometimes you just kind of throw it to the wind and go, yeah, let's go for it. And when that happens, the regrets can come later, but you just get that smile. I'm sure he got a very good bath at the end of that, but just the freedom to go, yeah, let my soul run free for just a few minutes and chase the geese off. Nobody's going to get hurt. Nothing's going to happen. I'm going to get a bath anyway. Sometimes go out and chase the geese, blow the fluff on the dandelion, have the piece of chocolate, get the second cup of coffee, take the walk, and have a good belly laugh. But take the dog's philosophy. Just let it go for a little bit, weigh it, measure it, and set it free. Have some laughter and enjoy yourself. I hope you chase some geese today. Keep your nose down, your tails up, and keep it on path. I hope you find geese.
I hope you have a mental image of Zach and the geese and the ATV and just made you smile. Shooting happy bubbles out there in the atmosphere is what Living Life Tails Up is all about. I never knew that spring was a really cool thing because in my world, we didn't have sidewalks. On farms, the only time we had sidewalks was coming up to the house. And I'm pretty convinced that's because you didn't want dirt in the house. And there's a rule about shoes and mud on farms. In these next sections, we're going to talk about what spring is like on a farm and some of the revelations. I hope you enjoy this section of Living Life Tails Up.
I wanted to talk about mud today because here at Mariah Bell Manor Kennel, we have a lot of mud. And I don't know about you all, but when I grew up on a farm, and I've realized that farm life is an endangered way of life these days. Growing up on a farm makes you appreciate mud in a very different way. The spring is the happy time. It's Easter. It's sunshine and bunnies and flowers. And it just never really did it for me because in my world, it was mud and pollen. And then you got yelled at because you're bringing mud in the house. How'd you get the mud? It dried on the cleats of your shoes. How did you get the mud here? Well, I got to college and this most miraculous thing happened. They had sidewalks that were covered in concrete. I was so impressed because there wasn't mud on them. And the thing was, if there was mud, you'd get a coating on there and it would dry off and you could almost like brush it away because it wasn't 4 inches deep at the gate where the cows came through. Southern Indiana has clay. So if you get down there and you have that mud mixed with that clay down by the fence where the rain's coming through and everybody's thinking that the grass is growing and it is mile a minute where you don't want it to, along with the weeds, but there by the fence where the cows come through every day, it is like 4-6 inches deep and you hope your boots are tall enough that when you take your foot out, your boot comes with it and you learn how to hold your toes in a certain way. So you know that you've actually got your whole shoe still left on there and then you hope you can go clean it off in a mud puddle somewhere. Did you ever realize what actually grows in mud and clay? That's a whole nutrient rich thing there. And then I got into graduate school and we started talking about skin because skin was a really important thing to grow viruses in and, you know, warts and all that lovely stuff there. But what really got me was people were putting mud masks on. I had heard it in the late 80s, mud masks. And my head went back to that right there at the pasture gate and that nutrient rich and how it smells. If you ever lived on a farm, I don't think you're going to want a mud mask because I know there's been times that my feet have gotten that pedicure with that mud mask because they have come out of the boots, gone into the mud with your socks on and you're like, ah, you feel your foot being sucked down in there because your boot got left in the mud. Those miraculous sidewalks made everything much better. I learned something in my adult life the other day, a new way for mud to happen. I was so impressed and horrified at the same time. There at the kennel at Mariah Bell, every year we try to plant grass because grass is a big deal. We like the dogs to go out on grass and they go potty on normal grass. And I have learned a new form of mud. It's called dust. When the dogs get out there and they roll around and they come in, they dry off and they shake and this poof comes off of them, you get this little bitty aerosolized mud. And I have learned from the horses and from the dogs that you want a red dog if you're in Maryland or southern Indiana, maybe down in Georgia, because that is the color of the dirt, that little aerosolized dust that comes off. Otherwise, my Bichons and Gandalf is a horse. Fiona and Fozzie are the Bichons. They're a white color. And when they get into that mud and they have that little poof of dust come off, they are exploring their inner red heads. Then your dust is all very nice because in the house, the dust is all kind of gray when you dust it, right? But if it's mud dust, it is slightly red. It's actually kind of pretty. So mats by the door have become a big thing in our world. I get to go inside and outside and see the world and have all kinds of sound effects. And I get to learn exactly what a mop and a dustpan's for. It's a mud pan. These incredible things called mud rooms, I had no idea. I get all that for free. I get mud masks. I get pedicures. I get dust wraps. I am just one heck of a lucky lady. So as you're out there and you're walking around and you see your dog roll and scratch and think, oh, it's summer, and they get up and they shake that dust off, ask yourself, what color is my mud today and how lucky am I to have it? Keep your noses down, your tails up, and stay on track. We'll see you next week.
I hope you are enjoying your spring. I hope that you get out and you see some of the wonderful blooms around us, all of the things that brings our horticulture, buying the flowers, getting our landscapes done, putting our gardens out. And I hope that your world is a little less muddy and sticky with a sound than ours was. In this final episode, something we can all appreciate, we're listening to this, it's audio, you can hear it. Music sets the beat. There's a rhythm to life, whether it's between the seasons, it's the rhythm of the day. If you stop and you listen to what's going on around you, the cars hum, the bugs sing, the crickets are out, the toads, the peepers are singing, there is a music all around us. And how that affects us and our mood, we're going to investigate in this episode of Living Life Tails Up.
Here at the kennel, we've noticed a trend. When we have dogs come in, they're usually tails up, drool down the side of the car. We've been asked, is it when you have a dog go home that they're happy and you feel like you've been a success? It's like, oh no, it's when they come back and there's drool on the side of the car and they turn on the road and you're jumping up and down the back seat and their tails are wagging absolutely everywhere. That's when we know we've been successful. But what helps us be successful? It's the music. It's the key to our success and happy tails here. Have you ever noticed that in the 80s and 90s in the United States, the music, the tunes. When we put that music on in the kennel, it sets a different kind of mood. When we put the classical music on, it sets a mood. You get right in the Valkyries, dawn, dawn, dawn. You see Bugs Bunny in your mind, right? And the dogs all respond to that in a little bit of different way. We've noticed that if we put the music on with a boom, 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 it's very calming and the dogs get into it. So Johnny Cash, you know, some Elvira playing there in the background. You get some Oak Ridge Boys. It keeps everything kind of mellow and calm in the kennel. It's the music that makes the tails. And boy, the tails that happen when the music is bom, 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 bom. Over the years, it's the rhythm of life that makes the tail. Just like in the songs from the 80s and 90s, if you start listening to those words, you think, oh my goodness, I sang those in the car with my mom. We were watching a piece on YouTube just the other day, and they were talking about what the music really says versus what the tune is. And then I sent my daughter a YouTube, and it was chickens, because she's got a thing for chickens. And I sent some of my riding buddies the thing with the chickens, because it's the chickens doing the dance to Rockin' Robin. Well, the hoppy little boppin' tune, everybody there on Jaybird Street. And I got to thinking, the tail makes the rhythm. The rhythm of your life makes you feel a certain way. Here at Mariah Bell, we get to be involved in lots of people's lives. And I say involved in a good way. You know, we get to see their dogs when they're going to weddings or we're going to funerals or they're going to vacations. They're getting together with friends and family and the dogs can't be there. Or we get to hear about the stories of, oh, everybody brought their dogs and this happened and we all have a good laugh. It's the tails. It's the rhythm of life and the feelings around it that make the music, that rhythm of our lives go on. So every now and then I wake up and I'm just kind of in a funk. Don't know why I'm in a funk, but my feet hit the ground and I should have put them on the other side of the bed, but I didn't. And, you know, that's when I put on radio and I'm thinking, oh, why did I put the news on? Because, oh, this is not good. And so I use music a lot of times to switch my mood around. And I was taught how to do that for a long time ago. I think my parents taught me how to do that. My grandparents taught me how to do that, to put that music on and to be aware of how it makes you feel. And how you feel and that rhythm you've got going on your internal stereo, if you will, makes a difference in how you process what's coming into your your world. I happened to see an article just the other day about how music can really change our brain waves and our concentration. And that's why, especially during these past few years when everybody was home doing COVID things and trying to get headphones and iPods, whatever you need to do to get music in your head, a lot of times humming works for me. And how it changed the brain waves and the concentration. So now you see music to study by, music to concentrate by. When back in the day, I heard, you know, I'm up there with my little 45 rocking out to Billy Joel, right? In my bedroom, and my parents like, turn that down, you're supposed to be doing homework. Did it really change their brain waves? What music's playing in your head today? I hope that you're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track.
I hope you've enjoyed this potpourri, if you will, the sampling of Living Life Tails Up. All of the things that makes raising connections so real to the guests. Before we come on the air, we talk about so many different aspects of our lives. Then we produce and bring you a program that's informational. The spirit and the connectiveness of those conversations off air is often heard on Living Life Tails Up. All of the things that go into making Mariah Bell Manor Kennel something special. That results in Raising Connections program, and we hope it's special to you. Join us wherever you get your podcast for Living Life Tails Up and here on WTTR for Raising Connections.
This program is a production of Raising Connections Media Company, hosted and produced by Rashan Mayer and edited and mixed by Robin Temple. For more information about our programs, visit raisingconnections.com.